Blog Talk Radio.
Hello there, everyone. That was The Words You Cannot Say, a poem written by the poet Jay Hatter, my co-host and big brother, and the singer and writer of that music is Shout Even Shy, another poet, and we all hang at allpoetry.com. This is Deborah Lee, and you are listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We have shows every night of the week, different times, different hosts, different topics. And if you would like to participate, it's easy if you are a All Poetry member or if you join All Poetry, which is free to do. Just look us up on the group tabs under A Team of Voices, click it, and I will meet you at the door. And if you join or are a member, you can follow along with the poetry that's read on the show by clicking on the link to each one that is shared on the chat wall in A Team of Voices. Tonight, we are at the second to the last show in the color series, and tonight's color is red. So the poets were presented with choices in red, and they ran with it. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. We are sponsored by the poet A.P. Taylor, and we have a blast. Join us if you'd like. If you want to call in, the number is 1-646-668-6665. 1-646-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And I'm going to get this show on the road. Glad you're all here. And hey, Hatter, glad you're here.
Hey, hey.
And
yeah, I'm just hanging. Just hanging.
Right behind him is Mr. Wayne Gent. Hello, Wayne. Glad
hey.
You're here.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Read your inbox, please. I'm glad you're here, and I am going to grab the next line, which is DW Prophet. Hey, David, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hey, thanks, Deb. I'm pleased to be here.
And I am looking forward to seeing what everyone came up with, inspired by Red. I even wrote this time, but I can't read mine until Sweet's here because it's kind of about her. So on that note, I'm waiting for Wayne to let me know. I had an issue tonight, so like Gerald and Titus and Wayne all sent me SoundClouds, but the studio won't take any SoundClouds at the moment. It keeps giving me an error code. Now, Phil sent YouTube, and it went in just fine, so I don't know what's up with that, and I don't know if Wayne wants to read live or for me to move the poem to next week.
I think I might read it after in a little while, but I can't right now. There's much as ball game, and I'm just I'm going crazy over here at the house. I'll try to read here in a little while, but I can't right now.
I'll leave it up until the end of the show, and if you get a chance, that's fabulous. If not, I'll move it to next week, and we can listen to you read both of your poems.
Okay, we'll do one or the other. I'll just know.
Okay, well, if you call back, we'll. That's what we'll, you know, we'll do, and if not, I will automatically move it over at the end of the show.
Okie dokie.
Have fun with your friends.
Thank you.
All right. I tried several different times. I just could not get them in there. And thank you, David. I see that message. So on top of that, there's an extreme lag here in my neck of the woods, and so bear with me if there's issues.
It's just a tin can and strings down there at the radio place, you know.
It seems like it some nights, David. It really does. It's frustrating.
Yeah,
I would say it's better to be back and get to do a show and hope that they fix the audio thing pretty quickly. But it's a bummer because I have, you know, like I said, Titus and Gerald and Wayne's that we'll have to miss because I have to wait till they fix that. I'll keep trying periodically.
Welcome to my world.
I know, it's terrible. No. It's just, it's so frustrating. Like I said, at least we'll be able to present the poetry, and we'll see what happens from there. So, you know what I think that we will do is I think that we will grab the poem by Mr. David D.W. Prophet and put that on the board, and he can kick us off. This is a really awesome photo, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, it is. It really took me, and I liked it. The composition of it and the symmetry of it spoke to me really, really nicely. So,
Well, I can't see what
pretty
you
neat. Okay, hold on here. Let me see if I can figure out where I'm at. I must be on the wrong. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, here we go. All right. I don't know. I just called this one Faces Behind the Mask. And this is one of those poems, you know, when you write a poem and you don't know where it's going and it sort of takes its own direction. And that's kind of the way this one went. So I'll read it for you. And it sounds like this. Faces Behind the Mask. The face behind the mask. Hydrogen alpha in its hue from behind the cask, 750 nanometers past blue. Two faces of Eve, you have to choose which one to believe, truth, or just demonic muse. An honest dragon, or a woman with a forked tongue, who recently fell off the bandwagon, her dragon songs mostly unsung. She keeps her truth in a jar by her door, takes the lid off with a crowbar made of floor spar. Fluorescent in 400 angstroms, ultraviolet fibbing to the dark mother, bears witness to violent tantrums, shining truth like no other. Ham-handed segue into the jar, reckless lack of patience, lost to the tug of a neutron star. She can't be bothered with obeisance. I was never taught any manners, more lies in a titanium-litten hue, sold from a kiosk with cheap banners. Let the buyer beware, blew by you. David, keep thy distance from her, but the dragon is honorable. She lies now and in times that were. Her tongue is intolerable. My wife speaking to me in long wave RF, redshifted whispers in a gravitational cleft. This crimson witch has got nothing on the dark mother, sad lies dripping with her tears of bereft. Sometime I feel sorry for the Red Witch, her crying legendary in the universe. I feel her heart-rending pitch. She's the object of neutron stars that spurs. Those ornery little bastards got nothing better to do. Bad attitude, tiny dastards, singing for centuries, cuckoo-ca-choo. These faces behind a red mask, Amadillo's whines of crimson, if you have to ask. No sympathies. She's your extinction. Don't judge her too harshly. She didn't start out this way. In her younger days carefree, before the tiger of entropy came to play. Now she sports lions and crow's feet, her once lovely mouth smiling and sweet. Before the devil split her tongue, after she was no longer young, I shall hold her while she cries, my wife looking on with a different set of eyes. For old age is nothing to despise. Its tolerance and understanding makes us wise. End poem.
Very cool. And, you know, the little things like singing for centuries, cuckoo-ca-choo, I think they're so cool. And where was it? I was never taught any manners, more lies in a titanium-litten hue, sold from a kiosk. And cheap banners, let the buyer beware, blew by you. Just really cool with the little play on words there. I know I'm going backwards, but I go with the one that hit me the last and then go backwards there. But where is it? I can't find it. There she is. Okay. The fluorescent in 400 angstroms, ultraviolet, fibbing to the dark mother, bears witness to the violet tantrum, shining truth like no other. I don't even know if I want to know about a violet tantrum. It sounds pretty wicked to me. It's just really cool, the details, that you always bring the details, the detail man. And the saga of the dark mother is never ending, and I don't want to be a nag, Dave. Well, maybe I do, but like, you really need to put Dark Mother's pieces all in one file, so when somebody finds one like this, they can go read more by clicking on your list.
Just yeah, saying. You're right. I need to start a file on the Dark Mother. I do.
Yeah, no, seriously, because it's a series. It's a years long series, and you mm-hmm. should. At the least it deserves is a folder. Hunter, what do you think?
Yeah.
Cuckoo-ca-choo. Yeah, you picked it pretty clean. yeah, I have the same lines that Deb and Pick, of course. Blue Bayou, the way the spelling is different. But, I was never taught many manners more lies in a titanium litten hue. How many lies are there? Titanium fit and hue. I like that.
Thanks, Adam.
Yeah, I think that whole stanza there is stands out. But yeah, cuckoo-ca-choo, man.
It was. It is. It's, you can't. it bears repeating. It was like a fun line. It just was. Awesome share, Dave. And it looks like Miss Sweet Pea is here. Let me let her in. My sweet.
Hello.
Glad you're here.
How are you? Thank you.
Hi, Pam.
Hi.
I'm a little frustrated, but at least we have a show. It won't let me put SoundClouds in, only YouTube's at the moment.
Oh,
but at least
no.
Show. Yeah, well, I have three of them that I can't use now, and I hate disappointing people, so you know how that goes. Anyhow.
Yeah, I know.
Still very glad.
I got big man having a problem tonight.
He's
14 and a half.
Wow.
I know.
I feel bad.
I know.
Did you write? Or are you just going to...
Yeah.
Yeah?
No, I do. I did. Yeah.
Okay. Did you happen to hear Dave's? And did you want to...
I did not hear... I heard the ending of it, and I am quickly looking over this. So, you know, I love the Dark Mother as much as I possibly can. And I love the title, Faces Behind the Mask, and the picture is beautiful. But I do want to comment on the two faces of Eve, because I found that to be a very interesting dichotomy, being that Eve is the mother of all life biblically, and yet the mother of all sin biblically. So that's quite the dichotomy, and I like that you use that. But I also, just glancing over it, as I always do, I like to go through like the first sentence of each stanza, and just going through it, it's the face behind the mask, two faces of Eve, an honest dragon. Keeps his truth in a jar. Fluorescent in 400. I can't even say that word. But yeah. If you start reading that, you know, it's almost like another poem. I was never taught any manners. David, keep thy distance from her. You know, it's like she's already yelling at, you know, you she feels sorry. But it's almost another little poem, like she's telling you. You know, like she's giving you her lecture just through the first sentence of each of your stanzas. So it's like she has her own monologue. I'm quite sure you didn't do it that way, but sometimes I find it funny how poems work their way out there. But it's like the Dark Mother had her own, you had subconsciously written her own dialogue just in the first sentence of every stanza.
I never looked at it that way. That's really an interesting way to. To view it, you know, I think I'm gonna.
I do that with poems every once in a while, and it's unique sometimes how it comes out. And yours came out pretty interesting like that. Okay, the prison doors are opening, just so everybody knows.
Way cool.
Thank you, Pam.
I love when that
You're
comes
welcome.
Up. Anyhow, so sweet. Okay, so I'm thinking that you're going to be pressed for time because you want to sit with your boy. But I need to go before you because my poem, well, you'll understand why. You'll understand why,
fine.
We'll do yours after me, and then you can go back to Bachmi Amadeus. So
there's
my Got it, Hatter?
Whose is it?
And Hatter, I'm sorry, did I let you comment for Dave?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, cool. Now you have it. All right, here we go. Oh, wait a minute. Let me let Sky in. Hello,
hi.
Sky. Welcome to the show. Very glad you're here. And I am pushing. I have to read this one because, well, you'll know why in a second. And then Sweet's got to read and go, and then yours. Is that cool? Did you finish yours?
Yeah, that's fine. I'll be on till 11.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool. All right. I think I have. Okay. Okay, so this is called Bottled by the Sorcerer's Sweet with Two Tiny Feet. Here we go. She lives in a city that's a mile higher. Her hair is the color of flames from a fire. Ladies in town whisper her nectar is sweet. Their men flock to the woman with two tiny feet. Red rose bushes grow in nightshade flower beds, and black-purple poison berry pollen spreads. Butterfly and bumblebee pollinators work as the sorceress brews wearing a smirk. Beehive honeycombs are full from honey. Now she'll refine the elixir to earn her money. A keg to tease with and one bat to kill with, too. If your pockets are deep, she can murder for you. The ladies from town buy her handcrafted juice to serve their husbands butterscotch mousse. Husbands that scream and throw a punch, running off to cheat on them at lunch. With the elixirs bottled in ebony glass, that redhead's mix kicks a man in the ass. Horse races, vision blurs from hallucinations, men spasm, vomit, flopping from convulsions. Droplets from the cruet are dripped in their throats. Sorcerer's tiny feet watches them as she gloats. Just before the abusers stop breathing and die, wives pay the fee and then giggle goodbye. First she feeds her pet alligator every skank, then drives into town cashing checks at the bank. So if you're an abuser and spot her on your street, beware an invitation from a sorceress called Sweet.
That's cool.
Yes.
That's really cool.
Yes. I love this, by the way, just so that you know. This is beautiful. This is awesome. I think this is perfect for anyone. I like being the sorceress with tiny feet. It is very hard to get shoes, by the way. This is brilliant, Deb. Thank you very much. I'm going to go ahead with that. I live in a city that mile higher, so I'm going to say it's an ode a little bit towards me. Her nectar is sweet. I like the fact that it's ladies in town that whisper her nectar is sweet. That kind of gets me swinging in a little different shades. I love butterfly and bumblebee pollinator work as a sorceress brews wearing a smirk. I like this, and I like that if you're a cheer user or anything, I will crack your head open. So I think that's funny, but I love why stay the fee and then giggle goodbye. That's pretty brilliant in itself. So since I really don't know who's here, I'll give this to Hatter. But Hatter, please give love and kudos and beautiful things to Miss Deborah Lee.
Thank you, my sweet.
I guess a bunch of man flogging skittle skins.
I don't even know what that means, but I think it's hilarious.
I know you know what it means.
Yeah. But that's only to bad men. I love all other men.
I know. It's things women say when men aren't there. I feel a little uncomfortable. What about you, Dave? Are you uncomfortable with this?
Thanks, Shatter.
Okay, well, I'd like to put
Dave, are you still here?
Yes. You know, there was a crack in the.
Must be muted because it still shows him in the studio.
I'm getting coffee then.
Did you say me? I'm sorry, did you say me?
He had said Dave, but please, Dave, go ahead, Sky.
Okay, thank you. I was paying attention to something. I didn't know if you called on me. I thought this was wonderful. I really, really loved the storytelling. I mean, you guys are all like D&D players creating character rights. But it's like a meld of, you know, homage, a little bit of, you know, personality with like where you say her nectar is sweet and you give a little bit of nod to sweet, but you're still character building, even though there's truth siphoned throughout the storytelling. I really loved the butterscotch. I don't know why. I mean, there was plenty other stuff on the bees and the idea of it. But I have to say that the butterscotch really, really had it for me. Then I know that, I don't know, it's just, I don't hear it very often. And I was just like, oh, I love that. And then when you got down to the darker elements, and I know like for a while, Sweet was doing this like series. I don't think she was a bee, she was something else, but
a moth.
Of like a moth. Yes. So I know she was doing this dark series, and it kind of reminded me of that, like when she was going through that series, but now she's this, now there's like these killer bees involved. And I gotta tell you, I was not expecting Skank. When you said it, I kind of was like, wait, what's he saying? But I thought that was pretty cool to be caught off guard like that. And and this bringing in the sorceress again, I'm gonna have to say back to my, just I'm so proud of you, Deb. Anyway,
my newfound character building skills. Thank you, Sky. And that's plenty of love. And thank you, guys. I put Sweet on the board. Sweet, if you're gonna hang up after we comment for you, do you want to push your show now?
I'm not sure if I'm going to hang up. I mean, he's sitting with me, but I just don't know what may happen or anything like that. But anyway, my show tonight, Thursday night, is about going out and being a journalist on your own, writing a poem, writing whatever, a prose, whatever you want to do, but go out and interview someone in history. I don't care if you want to interview Donald Duck, Snow White, Mark Twain, Marie Antoinette. I don't want to care if you want to, the guy that took off her head. Just go interview someone. Let's go see what the world's about. And so it's Interview Who Night, and just bring it back. I thought it'd be great and fun to interview someone in your life, in history, someone you make up. Go interview Bigfoot.
Anybody, huh?
Anybody. Yeah, anybody you want. Yeah. So just write the article after you did the interview.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I thought that would be kind of fun for us to do. You went out and interviewed, you know. Yeah. And tell me what your interview went down with Bigfoot or, you know, Dark Vader or whoever it may be. And that would be my Thursday night show.
Sounds really cool.
Yeah, I think cool. It's Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah. See how he likes life. Anybody you want. I think that's kind of where I went with that.
Very,
so
very
tonight's poem. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
So it's my poem is called Red. The western skies faded into warm shades of an amber whiskey. Wolves begin to howl at the blood moon hazing. The skies in red wine muse. Bound by a bloodlust creed, the creatures of the night begin to stir. Moonshine songs and cowboy grins spill Sally Saloon on Ginger Sledge. Scrawny girls with crooked smiles, pretty under the red glow, licking cherry lips, and for a few copper pennies, you can enjoy a private show. Two king of hearts and the ace of spades start a fire. A bloody battle rages and bad men get hotter. Pistols cocked until the devil's mistress whispers, "Boys, not on my house." A vision of fire wrapped in cardinal sin desire slashed a facade across the barroom floor in shades of disaster, waiting to unleash the smooth crack of the lash, creating red liquor swelts of artistry. At the crack of a tangerine dawn, Sally's saloon washes the clay dirt off the oak floor, sweeping away the bloodshot eyes of last night's drunks and overused whores. as the devil's mistress bathes in rose water, counting gold coins and burying the dead. And poem.
Well, damn, sweet. My favorite part kept changing, and I was like, a vision of fire wrapped in carnal sin desires sashayed across the barroom floor in shades of disaster, waiting to unleash the smooth crack of the lash, creating red licorice welts of artistry. I love that part. But your details, you really did this art justice. I like where you took her. And shades of amber whiskey, very clever line there. And I want to steal a couple more, but I can almost hear Hatter and the guy tell him, save something for me. But, like, this is badass. And I think you did a great job. And before I get you another comment, let's say hello to our sponsor. Hey, AP, glad you're here.
Hello. How are you?
I am
good.
Well.
How about you?
I've got a much better voice, I have to say, than the last couple of days. So that's a good start. I'm not quite ready to be one of those King of Hearts yet. That get hotter and their pistols get cocked, but you know, I'm slowly getting there.
Correct me up.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you made it. Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, I was following along the whole storyline. I was in the saloon, you know, Sally, the whole bit, right? Ginger. And then it flashed on me when you cracked the fish and whippers whip. Beginning of High Plains Drifter. The crack of the Pandrine Dawn, Sally Saloon washes the clay dirt before sweeping away the bloodshot eyes and drunk the night before a horse or whatever. You must be watching High Plains Drifter, right? It describes it. Watch the opening scene.
Great comment, Hatter. And David,
thank you, Hatter.
Dave, are you here? And if you are,
yeah,
you
I am.
There you
no,
are.
I no, I couldn't. I couldn't hear. You know, my name was called, and somebody was talking at the same time, so I couldn't. I didn't know. You know, if somebody was talking to me or someone else. So anyway, I really like this. Talk about good storytelling. This is it. And yours too, as far as that goes, Deborah. I was fascinated by both poems, and I didn't comment on yours, Deb, because I don't know. I guess I didn't hear my name. But anyway, I like that one, but I like this one as well. Gee whiz, I don't know. I don't have a favorite stanza here because they're all great. I don't know. I like the last one a lot. At the crack of a tangerine dawn, Sally's saloon washes the clay dirt off oak floor, sweeping away the bloodshot eyes of last night's drunks and overused whores as the devil's mistress bathes in rose water, counting gold coins and burying the dead. That's pretty neat. Yeah, this is really interesting. I love the metaphors that you used. I like this second stanza, the first line, the second stanza, moonshine songs and cowboy grins. That's pretty interesting. Filled Sally's saloon on Ginger's ledge. Scrawny girls with crooked smiles sit pretty under a red light glow. I can just see that. Really descriptive. Yeah, I like it. Licking cherry lips for a few coffee pennies, you can enjoy a private show. I'd probably spend some money that way, but do you have tiny feet, Pam? Do you have tiny feet?
I do. I have very tiny feet.
Oh, that's cool. Anyway, I like feet, so anyway.
I know.
This was a,
about it that way.
Yeah,
no wonder
everybody
you
knows. All right, this was really fun.
I never thought about that aspect of it. So it was a double treat there, guys.
Fun poem. Well done, Pam.
Thank you.
Princess Tiny Feet.
Princess Tiny Feet.
All right.
I'm going to remember that.
And I'd like to let Sky comment and then read her poem, please.
And I thought this was an excellent piece, and I have to get back to it. Where was it? There was one part. I only left my comment, and then I moved. I like to see it when I comment. Sorry, guys. Yes. So, in storytelling, of course, the card idea, I absolutely loved. This had like a really dark, playful, menacing sensuality to it, and I thought it was. And you guys are really like, oh, we're not PG-13 rated anymore, and you guys are just going off the rails with excitement for this. But I have to say, the red licorice wells of artistry. When people were, I don't know if anybody pointed it out yet, because I'm trying to duel something while other people are commenting. But if no one did, I mean, that was brilliant. I'm just thinking of this, the visualization of that. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. Like, I would never put those two things together. I would never thought that. But it just fits so well. And when things come up like that in writing or in poetry, and I think, huh. And I really am like, that is a brilliant visualization that I never would have thought about in a million years. I really appreciate things like that. And the few copper pennies for the private show, there was just like a sinister, grim, like playful, like I said, dark sensuality that was just, there was this undertone to this whole thing, and I really thought it really worked out well. Really well done.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, my darling.
Great comment. And Sky, before you start, you didn't give me 1 second. Hey, Grass, welcome to the show.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Grass.
Hey, Grass.
Howdy.
Good to hear from you.
I had to join the Red Show.
Ah, is that what it was? That's what it takes to get you to call on a Monday, huh, is to make a Red Show.
Absolutely.
Well, you're just in time to hear Sky read for us. How much time do you have?
I can be here. Don't worry about it.
Okay, because I have Sky, then AP, and then I'll put yours on the board. How about that?
That's fine.
All right. Sky, take us away, please.
So I've been doing like a lot of landscape photos when you put pictures up so that I don't lock myself into any character rights, because I just don't have the time to do it. But this one, even though it wasn't a character, I really loved the picture. I didn't go character right, even without it, I was like, I had to have this one. So it's really nice pictures up there. This is called Resin. Firelight travels in the waning sun. Resin. Firelight travels in the waning sun. Wanted and cautious. It spin drifts a string of feral transits, setting like a mask of red river stones and the measured gaze of her face. Thin clad vines trailing intoxicating blooms, all studied, a stronghold of warm black pupils, each a keeper to themselves, a reservoir of graphite stone and paper. And poem.
Ooh, a stronghold of warm black pupils, each a keeper to themselves. For some reason, I think that's fabulous. There's something about those warm black pupils, because usually when you think of like someone with the blackness would be in a negative way, but the warm changes the thought of black pupils, you know? But I love the opening there, firelight travels in the waning sun. wanted and cautious. I think that that's really a beautiful opening. You're really good at the brevities. Well, you're good at all of them, but you have like intoxicating blooms in here. And I you hear me stuttering because I'm trying not to keep repeating some of the lines or there'll be nothing left for anybody because you're really good at these, as I said. But the reservoir of graphite, stone, and paper, the thought of the reservoir running dry because not many people do things on paper anymore. For some reason, that's where that last line took me, wondering why we stopped. Because even though, you know, you shoot somebody a text or an email, there's nothing quite like having a handwritten letter from someone. Well, I guess unless you can't read their handwriting. But still, I think that this came out really great. I love what you did with the art.
Thanks, Deb.
Some comments here. Let me go to my suite. She had to go. Sorry about that. Gress, what did you think?
Well, the first thing that gets me is like when you say firelight travels in the wings unwanted and cautious. For some reason, I got the picture like you're looking into the fire and you're seeing a person inside the fire that could be somebody looking back at you in another realm. And as it looks back at you, what is your thoughts and your prevailing thing? Because that whole fire thing, when you say a reservoir, graphite, stone, and paper, that's the essence of the fire. Right, and that when you're looking into that fire, you're seeing either, I don't know, something that's like primordial, you know, because fire, when you have fire, it's like no matter what, when you gaze into it, you see all kinds of different things. So I thought it was really good that you put the descriptions in there, because I was thinking more of like getting into this fire and the fire is looking back at me and. And I really enjoyed it. Very good.
Thank you.
Awesome comment, David. And Hatter, what you think?
Sky.
I just say David. Sorry, Gress.
Yeah. You did.
Go ahead, Hatter.
Oh, Sky, yeah. This isn't done. The reservoir of graphite, stone, and paper. You have to write something. You have to finish. This is not bad. It seems like I just wanted more. Stone and paper.
I don't have time for long writes anymore. I do every. This was. I literally have a notebook, and I have been writing down random pieces and lines, and some of them just two words strung together. And I sat down tonight at 9 o'clock, and I. Took my notebook and I strung something together. No time. I did this stringing my notebook of like weeks of just random thoughts because I have little time to sit and write one together. So, this is all you can get for now is brevities. Sorry, Heather, but thank you.
Okay. Good, I'll sit back down. Sorry.
And sorry again, Gress, for calling you David, but I bet you've been called worse. David,
as long as you don't call me late for dinner.
David, will you comment for Sky, please?
Yes. This almost sounds like a cookbook for this. It reads like a cookbook for this picture here. And the reason I say that is because the way Sky put this whole thing together, it starts out, firelight travels in waning sun, wanted and cautious. It's spindrifts, a string of feral transits setting like a mask of red river stones in the measured gaze of her face. That sort of, I don't know, kicks off this picture of her, and then the rest of it, you know, a stronghold of warm black pupils, each a keeper to themselves, makes it plural. And so, you know, there's more to this face than meets the eye, to my way of thinking. I mean, that's what I got out of it. A reservoir of graphite, stone, and paper. That, you know, that's kind of, to me, it kind of shows how this whole picture was crafted of this woman. You know, I would really like to see the real McCoy of this picture, you know, done in graphite and resin or stone, or however, because it's a really interesting storyline that you have here, Sky, and I appreciate the artistry that you've used to describe this woman in the picture. It's really well done.
Thanks, David.
Mm-hmm.
Great comment. And then AP, did you want to comment for Sky and then read your poem for us, please?
Yeah, sure. Look, I really like how you elected to separate the two halves of the face in that stanza about the stronghold of warm black pupils, each a keeper to themselves. There's something quite distinct about the left and the right side of the face, and the way that you went about that really identified that and highlighted that as part of the poem, and really beautifully done.
Thank you, AP.
Awesome comment, and I put you on the board.
Yes.
Well, you're being, let's just say welcome 41. Back to Wayne. Wayne, I'm glad you're
welcome
here.
Welcome back, Wayne.
Glad to be here.
This is
AP, please.
A Carillion Burns. A Carillion is a building full of bells, for the record. And this goes a little bit like this. As chiffon darkness gathers by Chablis, west branches pass a fair listless dawn. The sun warns of the imminent need to flee. Rolling fields are towards Hades born. Aloft spouts a miasma of burning winds, powered with scrub and farmers' yields. Reaches in ruby past slopes once pinned towards my plain, now danger's wield. Soon those same rumbling clouds of ash that stepped a giant chimney into clouds envelop my sun with a thunderous dash, while their presence into crimson crowds will rumble of metal chain wheels, the devil's spectre flaming rails of vermilion. Glasses around me turn red as bells peal. Demons of lava burn in this, their Carillion. End poem.
Awesome. And I see you did enter the contest.
I love the detail. Yes.
Yeah. The chiffon darkness is sort of a contradiction, because you think of the chiffon as something sweet and soft, and the darkness gathers. I love the expression there. And aloft spouts of miasma of burning winds, powdered with scrub of farmer's yield. Miasma, I've never heard that word before.
I like miasma. It's a good solid word, and I'll give you the actual meaning while I go in and grab it. Hang on. Miasma, an unpleasant or unhealthy smell or vapor, an oppressive or unpleasant atmosphere, surround or emanate something. Yeah, lovely word.
I was going to say, and it is a really awesome word. I had just never heard it before. Got to love when that happens. enveloped my son with a thunderous dash while their presence into crimson crowds. Just great lines. Oh, and to a rumble of distant metal train wheels, a devil's specter, flaming rails of vermilion. I love the demonic spiel that you have going on here. And, you know, if you're standing there, you look up and you see that sky, I bet you it would be overwhelmingly spooky. And I think that's where your right went. And I find it very cool. And that giant chimney into the clouds. I mean, it's wicked. You did great with
it. What's a carillion again? What's a carillion again?
A carillion is a tower full of bells, Patter.
A tower?
Bells. Musical bells. Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they have them. Okay. Presbyterian churches have them a lot, too.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Right.
Finish your comment, Heather.
Right on. Oh, well, it makes sense, because I was, without knowing what it was, because I know you mentioned it at the beginning, and I just didn't hear what you had said, because it cracked over my headset. So I was trying to guess what it meant as it was being read, and I was lost. And then the farmers, yeah, it really sort of threw me off. And it wasn't capitalized, so I was lost, so I got to reread it. But, the miasma, great word. Not a lot of points in Scrabble, but great word.
Thanks, Hatter.
Comment, Hatter.
I thought it was going to be something like Australian fires, where you have some Southern Hemisphere plasma fires or something. It's a miasma. There's the whole country. Never mind.
Press comment,
right.
Please.
Everything you have, yourself and your soul, is about to be lost in the furnace that surrounds you. It could be like a metaphor. The whole thing is that you've lost your way in the world, and now you're being consumed by the sin that is surrounding you, and you're very foreboding and intense. It's like the demons are surrounding you. I don't know if they're internal or external or both. You know, it's kind of me. I love the word miasma. I know that's basically what I've seen it before is like brimstone, fire and brimstone. It's like the smell, the scorching that you get from dead bodies. It's a great word. I think this is really awesome. Really well done. Good job on that, AP.
Thanks, Brett. Cheers.
Great comment. And Wayne, before you read,
yes.
Did you notice that I still haven't been able to download it? You'll have to read it for us, if that's all right. But before you read,
I'll read it. I'll try to read it. If AP can read, I can read.
Cool. Okay, that works. Will you comment for AP first, though?
Yeah, it's a beautiful form of advancement of an event or a storm coming up. This is wonderfully poetic. It's a great vocabulary. I read well. It's a very good poem, and I think it's maybe the best description of an impending disaster coming I ever heard. Good job, AP. I loved it.
Thank you, Mike. Cheers. Thank you.
Awesome comment.
Deb,
and
I might
AP, thanks. Yeah, I was going to say thanks for calling.
I've meant
get some
to
rest.
I haven't coughed. I want you to notice that. I haven't coughed. I probably will when I get off the phone, but I haven't coughed. So thank you. Great images. Great images. And we'll talk soon.
All righty. Love and respect.
Okay.
All right. Take
thank
care,
you.
AP, and get well.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
Later, AP.
See you, AP.
Awesome. Okay, Wayne, show us what you got.
All right. This poem is called Be Ready. It goes like this. Don't believe everything you read. You have so much confusion in your head. And all the lies that you have to tread, just have faith, believe in yourself instead. Spread the love contained in the roses red, and only eat the truth you're fed. Try not to eat anything bigger than your head, and never listen to the devil's words that said. Don't believe in the faithless Jed, or think he's a talking horse named Ed. Or try to act like Flintstones Fred. And don't go on an adventure with Bill and Ted. You are an angel. Open your wings and spread. Be sure to say your prayers before bed. If you're down the wrong path, don't be led. keep the faith until you're dead. There's no wrong in breaking bread. Don't let your soul hang by a thread. No troubles may lie ahead. And always remember why Jesus bled. After I wrote this poem, my face turned red. I think I'll go hide under the bed.
That's great, Wayne. That's great.
I don't even know which part to comment on. This was so fun. And Wayne, you did good getting through it without busting into a giggle, especially when a few of us giggled in some of the spots. But like, you carried that that mono rhyme all the way down the page. That's pretty tough. Damn, that's a long page to pull it down. You are an angel. Open your wings and spread. Be sure to say your prayers before bed, and down the wrong path don't be led. Keep the faith until you're dead. It's good advice, but it had me giggling because you had everything in here from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure to saying prayers to somewhere in there is something about not eating a head. I mean, this is very cool, and it was. You're very good at making us laugh, Wayne. That's
what I try to do.
That is, it's a gift to be able to bring people laughter, and you have it. Fun
poem.
Thank you.
Dave,
you want to comment?
Yeah, this one was great. You had me laughing all the way through this, Wayne. I like the first stanza. The first line starts it out just perfect. It says, don't believe everything you've read. You'll have so much confusion in your head. That's true. All you got to do is just watch TV and listen to some of these commercials, and you'll have plenty of confusion in your head. All the lies you'll have to tread, just have faith and believe in yourself instead. That's good advice right there. I like the middle stanza here. Don't believe in Clampett's Jed or think there's a talking horse name, or try to act like Flintstone's Fred and don't go on any adventures with Bill and Ted. That's a really great stanza in this poem. They're all good. They're all good, but that one stood out to me, and they made me laugh all the way through. It's just, you know, there's some... It takes a lot of a special kind of a mind to write something like this, and a special kind of a talent. I can't do it. You sure pull it off with no sweat. You know.
Called insanity.
I really liked it.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate that, man.
Sure.
Comment. And Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, have you ever heard that
Hatter, where'd you go? Oh, his car. Okay, he'll dial back. Sky, can you comment for Wayne?
Sky.
Hi, Wayne. This is crazy.
Hi, Sky. How you doing? Nice to hear your voice.
Good. How are you doing? Hey, you too.
Good.
This is just absolutely wild. I love fandom pieces, and you just started like throwing all kinds of stuff in here with such wonderful humor. I have to say my favorite too was probably the Flintstone and the Bill and the Ted. I thought that was when you think of poetry, you don't necessarily, you know, envision mixing certain things together like Mr. Ed and the Flintstones and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures. But that's the fun thing about writing. You can mix it, and it's, you know, as jumbled as you think it might be because you're mixing in all of these different shows and pop culture references, because of the whole piece, you can have this cohesiveness to it and a wildness in it that kind of makes you feel like you're grasping. But it's a good thing. It's kind of like you're kind of just going through the pickup line and picking up all the things, and it goes so fast, and it's really fun to read like that. And by the end, you're like, what did I just read? I had all these references in my head that are completely unrelated, but they fit, and that's what makes it fun. Really well done.
Great comment. Great comment. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Hatter's back. Did you want to finish your comment, Hatter?
To have described that the English language is a language of wasted or of small words, like we too flamboyant, lack of better. If you can take the ending of each line,
right,
pick it up anywhere. Roses are red. Truth be fed, bigger than your head. The devil said, "Crumpets Jed, and talking horse named Ed." Flintstones, Fred, Adventures, Bill and Ted, Wings of Spread.
Yeah.
Very well done.
Thank you. Had to appreciate it.
Bill and Ted.
Great comment. And Gress, can you comment before you read yours, please?
Wilbur.
Wilbur. I was laughing my ass off all the way through that. Very good, Wayne. I love your humor. I always do. You. I love the way that you write.
Thank you.
The thing that I think is the funniest part, though, is the part where you say, after I wrote this poem, my face turned red. And I think, I love it, man. It's great. I love stuff like that. And it just pickles my funny bone, man. Really good job.
Thank you, brother.
You. Oh, am I supposed to read mine?
That was a fun comment. And yes, please.
All right. So Deb had a contest a long time ago. I want to say like maybe 8-9 years ago. And this is when we were first getting to know each other. So this is called The Blood Moon Death, and the picture was her, I think, her prompt. So this is what I came up with when I saw the picture. So here we go. It's called Red Moon Death. We first kissed upon the harvest moon. Luminescence filled your hair. Sparkling diamonds refracting light. Attentive eyes showed you cared. We walked slowly down a timber path where you gave me your essence. Your virginity was entrusted carefully, consideration taking no pretense. My heart was taken by your gift of trust, filling your warm body with delight. Moon reached out and reflected our truth. We are in love and all was right. Time dragged on and our love bloomed. We cared deeply for each other. Nothing would fail me when it came to you, but then you discovered another. Appropriate on this night of the red full moon, loss of love has ended my will to live. Blood of my tears reflects back to your trust. Red moon takes back the love I give.
Yeah, this was actually my gold winner in the contest. And yes, the blood moon, the picture was the prompt. And you kind of like ripped my heart out as I was reading on this one. My heart was taken by your gift of trust, feeling your warm body with delight. Moon reached out and reflected our truth. We were in love and all was right. And then like the part, oh, man, nothing would fall me when it came to you. But then you discovered another and it was like, oh, no. It was an emotional piece, and I thought that you took, you know, I mean, wow. We walked slowly down a timber path when you gave me your essence. I love that, your essence. I think that's so such a beautiful way to put it. Really cool. I'm glad you pulled this one and called, Chris. It's nice to get to hang out with you. Let me get you some comments here. How about if I get a comment from Wayne, please?
Yeah, this is no wonder this won a gold medal. This is a wonderful poem. You wrote that 9 years ago, last month. Wow, that's a long time ago to be writing such good poems. You did a great job with this. I like the rhyme. Rhyme was good all the way through. Well balanced. It's just a good poem all the way through. It's got good emotion in it. Great prompt. And just good poem all around. Enjoyed it. Gress, enjoyed it a lot.
Thank you, sir.
Awesome comment. And David, what do you think?
I see Dave was in that contest also. Oh, 9 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I was going to look, yeah. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, Dave got an honorable mention on this one. Huh. Very cool. See, Gress is one of the first five people I met on the site through our mutual friend, Heather. And practically my first week here.
Back in February. Remember we did a lot of collabs when you first, and then Heather would get very mad. She goes, wait a minute, you collabed with her three times, and you haven't even collabed with me yet? What's going on here?
Right, and I remember the first time I asked you to do a collab, and she's like, oh, he doesn't do collaborations, and we have a whole bunch of them, so I don't know about that, but anyway. Yeah, it was cool that you brought this out. Hatter, what you think?
The poem? Oh, yeah. let me get back to it. Oh, shoot. Where'd it go? That's all right. I'll get there. I'm sorry. I dove into the contest thing and I got lost.
Okay.
If you're at the contest, just look at the gold winner.
That's what I'm trying to get to. Yeah. Boy, you nice. Oh, there it is. I got this back. It was what do they call the romantics that are dark romantic novels. You know, Purple to the Red, there's a red full moon. It's written gothically, you know. That's what it is. Gothic touch to it. Very good.
Thank you, Hatter. And David, did I let you comment?
No.
And please.
I like this poem a lot. It is I'm not going to say it's typical, but it's, you know, anytime we embark on any kind of a love relationship, you know, it might have an outcome like this. So, you know, we have to keep that in mind. It's part of life. It's part of what makes, being interested in the other person mean anything at all. Some people don't take it as seriously as others do. And usually the person that gets hurt is the one that takes it the most serious. And I think this explains this. I think the storyline in this poem explains that rather well. I thought it did anyway. So just a lot. It was a good poem.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And Sky, will you go ahead and comment for Gress and then read this poem for me before you have to go, please?
Yes, I love that you brought an old poem, too. I love that you kind of reached into, because I feel like and this might be one of the reasons why I tend to be a delete queen, some people might say. I feel like the old rites just kind of sit there and they don't really get viewed or seen. So I love that you reached back and you brought us this. It opens with a beautiful story about a heart that was willing and giving of itself. And then, of course, with such vulnerability, you always run the risk that it's whisked away. And I love the relationship that you brought in with the full moon and how some things kind of remind us or take us back to certain places and moments in our life. And
especially those reflective moments. I mean, you have all those things, you might pass something, oh, that reminds me of something. But sometimes when you're sitting there, especially, at least for me with nature, and you're kind of centering yourself, you're reflecting on you know, relationships and things that have passed, and sometimes those things are sweet, like the open, and sometimes they can have that bitterness, and it takes that moment, I think, to truly kind of get over it, I guess. But really well done.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Great comment, everyone. And again, I'm glad you brought that, and I'm so glad you called. And Sky, before you read, that way you can just go ahead and be the first commenter, and then you can go ahead and hang up. So why don't you push your show before you read Angel's poem?
I don't even remember. I don't even know what show we're doing because it got pushed back. I think we're on... Yeah, because I wrote the wrong date here. All right. I think we're on Volume 4, the Silmarillion Volume 4. Yeah, that has to be the one. I'll fix the date. Okay, so the Silmarillion Volume 4... the date's wrong on the board, so don't pay attention to that. And we're going to continue with the Varda. And if you don't know Tolkien's work and you don't know the characters, I put the descriptions right on there. And the thing about these, you don't have to write a character right. You can kind of gear towards their elements, what they're known for. I mean, the first one is the Great Smith. So you could, you know, you could go to other themes and venues. So if you're like, I don't have time for a character right, Sky, I don't know the context, you don't need to. This is just for inspiration, and I will bring the fandom. I always do the work and bring the fandom and talk about the book itself and the characters themselves. What your job is, just be inspired by some of the things that I have down there that we'll talk about on the show. And the other character, Yavanna, she's the giver of fruits and responsible for growing things. We're in the height of spring. You could simply bring me a spring poem. So like I said, you don't have to necessarily go crazy. I will bring the fandom. I go on anywhere between 8:30 and 9:30. I'll put on the board when I go live. And there's also you quotes from the book. You could go anywhere you want from the quote. And if you really want to, you could write about a character. But like I said, it's open for interpretation. And that's on Wednesday. It's Wednesday. Okay, that's it. Thanks.
Awesome. And I moved hers down, so please.
All right. So this is Cascading by Heavenly Angel. If these walls could talk, what would they say? Would they let you see that you are my everything? A mere look from across the room as I stir my drink in sweet slow motion. It is the unspoken that is enough, all wrapped up in a leap of faith. One moment in time shared, the garnet flames, burning embers, a blush of romance, tinged on alabaster flesh. Sweetest dreams of serenity upon the whispered breath of night tread thunderously through passage of heart, looping through every crevice of being. Some feels are never said. They just flow like a river, cascading between your heart and mine. End poem.
Great read. Why don't you go ahead and comment first? And thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, I thought it was beautiful. I liked how it opened up with a question. When there are so many things in when we communicate to each other in any way, when you open you have like a question, you're bringing the other person in. You're asking them to stop and think about how they feel about something. And when you're writing a poem like this, the person, they're not the person that the writer's speaking to, but they still get pulled in by that feeling and perhaps think about someone else that they care about in such ways. And so it becomes more personal. So I thought that it was very effective with the questions right at the beginning. I also really liked the, where was it? It is the unspoken that is enough. Love that line. I thought it was great because sometimes there aren't any words. Sometimes you just look at someone, like I said, in any kind of relationship that you're in, whether it be love, a passionate kind of love, or mother, sibling, child. Like you just look at something or someone, and there's no words. So I really love that. And then there's another line. I mean, the whole thing was gorgeous, but there was another line that I really, really enjoyed. Oh, right here. Some feels are never said. That's not language that I would use, but it is. I've heard like you get the feels. But I've never really heard it translate into poetry, and I thought that was I don't know, I thought it was unique, and kind of had like a lightheartedness to it, but it had such an undertone of very deep emotional feelings. Ending on that little bit of lighter moment with the feels, I thought was I thought it was clever and nicely done. End comment.
Great comment. And again, thanks so much, Sky, and I should be able to see you Wednesday.
Thank you. All right, bye.
Appreciate you. Night. And an angel's poem. Oh, I really love that title, Cascading. It's a beautiful title. And I often say how just about every single poem that Angel brings is a medal winner. And I was just noticing on the side that this one took gold, and it's her 711th gold, 711, 711th gold. That's fabulous. And I like the feel. I, too, like how it started with that these walls could talk. What would they say? What would they say? I often go by a place that's, like, starting to fall apart because nobody ever did anything to it or whatever, and I wonder, you know, the things that house must have seen, and you get that if these walls could talk kind of feel. So it took me there, but I like one moment in time shared, the garnet flames, the burning embers, a blush of romance tinged on alabaster flesh, but a blush of romance. It's just beautifully worded. Sweetest dreams of serenity upon the whispered breath of night. That is gorgeous. I think that it's easy to see why she took the gold here. She did a beautiful job with the art. Thank you, Angel. Gress, what do you think?
Well, I'm a sucker for romance, right? Even, you know, with my dreamy eyes and everything. But I love this. Cascading, that's a big, great word for what love can do for you. It cascades throughout everything in your life. Your just your mood, your everything, you're more confident. When somebody believes in you and loves you and gives it back to you, it's a feeling that just can lift you up, if you know what I mean. I've never really had it for like a sustained period of time. I don't know if that means I'm difficult or what, but I know that when I did have it, it was like, it's like a feeling that you can't really describe. And like anybody says, you try to describe what love is. And I think the word cascading is very meaningful because it does cascade you. It's so many things that's in your life that just becomes better because of love, and it really touches you, and it makes you feel like, man, I've got something here that I want to keep going. and it's awesome. I mean, it's a great feeling. Unfortunately, like I said, it's only happened maybe a couple times in my life that I felt that way, but when I did feel it, it was the best. It's the best feeling you can have, yeah. And somebody loves you back. So that's awesome.
Yeah, it's sort of about how to, sort of out of control feeling though too, isn't it? cascading because
most
of the time cascade you get a nice feel for it, but if you think about it, cascade is a terrifying thing. It's something that starts and cannot be stopped. It's what they use to describe the inner works of a nuclear explosion. It cascades, man.
Yeah, it's wonderful. You know?
Everything, the power behind the word, exactly.
Yeah, great poem, Heavenly Angel. Beautiful. Really touched me very deeply.
Great comment, Mr. Dreamy Eyes and Mr. Hatter. Okay, and we have two poems left. We have Phil the Poet, which for some reason the studio did accept the YouTube clip, so we will get to hear his. But I sent a message to both Gerald and Titus telling them that I moved their poems over while I find out what's going on and why it won't take SoundClouds. But let's click on Phil's, and I will play his SoundCloud. And then I'll read for Jane, see what she sent for us. So I am headed back to the studio to push play, and we will hear Mr. Phil the Poet. And here we go.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Warhol's Wig in Wonderland. The Queen of Hearts is in an Andy Warhol wig, playfully plucks off a tender ripe sweet fig, carefully watched by all her bumbling knaves, who eagerly satisfy her orders that she craves, painting roses from a Campbell's soup can, watching like a villain with a despicable plan. One false move, and it will be off with your head. A shrill voice fills her servants with sheer dread. Soothed by the music of the velvet underground, reclining in a favorite rose-scented gown, playing with a toy guillotine she gently pairs. Evil are the thoughts of this Venus in fears. And
if you look at the chat wall, I just added the art that he wrote to.
Oh.
And I love how it's Warhol's Wig in Wonderland. You'll understand the title as soon as you see the piece on the board. I think that he did a clever way of taking this. The Queen of Hearts is an Andy Warhol wig, and that cracked me up. Playfully plucks off a tender, ripe, sweet fig, carefully watched as all her bumbling knaves who eagerly satisfy her orders that she craves. I thought that he took this to a really fun place, and towards the end there, her shrill voice fills her servants with sheer dread. It's like, oh boy, here she goes again. But then it was soothed by the music of the Velvet Underground. I think that it shows that he had fun with this one. And the art he chose, I did wonder where he would go. I think he did great with it, with the details. With the like the Campbell soup can, which is another nod back to Andy Warhol. This is really, really clever. Thanks so much, Phil. I appreciate it, always. Hatter, what do you think?
I think our friend Phil the Poet just aged himself. Velvet Underground? Is there another term? Because that's interesting.
Well, Stevie Nicks hadn't mentioned to it.
Velvet Underground was the group that, the Take a Walk on the Wild Side? What's the guy's name?
Lou Reed.
Lou Reed.
Lou Reed.
Yeah, he was
part Lou of Reed.
That. Yeah, Lou Reed. And he was part of that Velvet Underground.
Okay.
That was a while ago. That was back in the late 60s.
Yeah, I just wondered if it was that. I'm sure he was referring to it. So, he aged himself to know that term. Very good. So.
Great comment. And what you think, Gresh?
I love the mixture of pop culture and and Alice in Wonderland, because basically that's what Warhol was, right? He was like, he's like this character that was larger than life, right? I mean, he's got that platinum like looking hair. He loved the contemporary art. Yeah, he'd just paint like everyday objects and stuff like that, and he had an eclectic group around him all the time, all kinds of different people, different influences, and you know, one of the great artists, I forget his name, that didn't live very long. He was in that too as well, and crap, I can't remember his name, but anyway,
yeah, the crazy guy, crazy French guy,
Yeah. That's who I'm thinking of. But it's just a nice thing to put both of them together, and the picture does do justice. That makes sense. It's basically Andy Warhol. Yeah. I really loved it. Good job.
Fabulous comment. And we have one poem left. And let me move that down because I put the art in front of it. And if I'm not mistaken, although this poet has a few poems that have been on the Liquid Damage Lounge, I think this is the first one from her on my shows, which I find very, very cool. And the poet is Jay Showalter. I'm sorry, what, Hatter?
Oh, no, Steve. Hey,
okay.
Where's the artwork for it? Where's the artwork for it?
For which one?
This one.
I don't think she chose one. I think she just went with red.
Okay.
As the color
itself.
It should
be to red.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So this is called Red D Set. Glow, A Tribute to Red by Jay Showalter. Red's for passion, red's for roses, red to polish little toeses. Christmas stockings, clowns, big noses, spotlights as we come and goeses. When it's red, it's hot to touch like our cheeks get when we blush. Red is angry or it's love, the Valentines we're so fond of. Sunsets, lipsticks, barns, and beets, candy apples, crisp and sweet. Cardinals and autumn leaves, pomegranates, if you please. Ruby slippers, lollipops, watermelons, hot or not. Christmas stockings, Santa suit, Rudolph shiny nose to boot. Lots of shades, don't you agree? There's ruby, carmine, burgundy, scarlet, crimson, raspberry, coral, fuchsia, naturally. Magenta, oxblood, and garnet. Satin, auburn, don't forget. Cornelian, brick, or just a few dazzling rainbows. Fireworks, too. Pretty woman wore it, too. Shows you just what red can do. End poem. You know, if there was a such thing as name-dropping in reference to colors, she nailed it. I mean, there's so many different little nods to the color red through this. From lipstick to noses and toeses, and this is really cute. I like it. What was that? Sunsets, lipsticks, barns and beets, candy apples, crisp and sweet. It had this, like, it was easy to jump in and read because it right away you picked up this back and forth feel. It was very lyrical. It was fun to read. Great tribute to the color red. And thank you, Jay. Thrilled that you sent a poem in for my show. Appreciate it very much. Hatter, what you think?
You know, let's see if it passes the test. If there's every sense, the senses, the taste, touch, the hearing, and smell. So go through the red roses so you have the smell, okay? Hans noses. That would be the smell. Still, if it's hot to touch. See any others? Sunsets site. So it's got them all. That's it. There's a good poem.
Great comment. And Gress, what did you think?
I love it because it's kind of like, you know, it's fun, it's witty, it tells a story. I mean, who doesn't love toes? I mean, red polishes a toes. Christmas stockings, big noses, stoplights, and it comes and goes. I mean, it just it has a nice rhythm to it and cadence to it. It's a fun ride, and it just gives you everything that you can think of on red, you know, like what it is and how it is. I think it says Pretty Woman more, too. Shows you just what red can do. I mean, if you think about Pretty Woman, that was kind of a, you know, if they tried to put that movie out today, it wouldn't work. It just wouldn't work. It'd be all over it. But I think that she wrote very, it's very fun, and it's delightful. Great, right?
Awesome comment. Well, so just a quick recap of the upcoming. We are off tomorrow, and as Sky said, her show on storyboards is around 8:30 on Wednesday night, and then on Thursday, Sweet Pea at 10 p.m. Eastern, an interview with who? If you could interview anybody in the world, real or imagined, who would it be? Sweet would like to hear about it. And then on Friday night, we have open poetry on the Liquid Damage Lounge with Linda and Carmine. That's at 10 p.m. Eastern. And then at 9 p.m. Eastern, we have open poetry with A.P. Taylor. And then before you know it, it'll be Monday again, and you guys can come back and hang out with me. And I just put the topic board on the chat wall for next week, so you can click on it and grab your favorite art. The last color of our art series is black, and I have everything from Oreo cookies to hot cars and scary stuff and ravens and everything in between. So something sure to speak to your muse. 10 o'clock next week, same time, same channel. Hope to see you there. And I would like to say thank you to my big brother Hatter, my co-host. I want to thank all four of my board members, Hatter and Sweet Pea, and our sponsor, A.P. Taylor. It's fun making shows with you guys. Appreciate you all. And I want to say thank you to Jay Showalter, Angel, Titus, Wayne, Gerald, Phil, David, Sky, and Grassman. And I want to again say to Gerald and to Titus, I'm sorry that the studio would not accept your SoundClouds. I have sent you a personal message to tell you with my apologies, and I have moved your links to my next show. Hopefully they'll have everything straightened out, and if you write for the Black Show, I will just get to hear your voice twice is all. So thank you all so much, and I guess on that note, what we do every now and then is tell you that it's closing time, and you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Love and respect.
Why?
Good night, everyone.
what you can't say here.
Night, everyone. Love and respect.
Thank you, Doug. Bye.